Hey everybody, Sean Mills, and this is the Hack My Homestead podcast. Thanks for joining me today. It's Monday, June 12th. Yeah, let's call it June 12th. I'm pretty sure that's right. 2023, and I've got some news for today, and I'm going to talk a little bit about my thought process around that. And that news is that I am officially exiting the corporate world and going to run Hack My Homestead full time. Probably be like July 1 before I'm fully transitioned over, just because part of this is going to involve us selling our home in Alabama and moving back to the off-grid homestead in Tennessee. And so obviously, anytime you're selling a house, there's a whole lot of stuff that has to be done, because most people don't keep their house in sale-ready condition. And so while most of it is cosmetic, there are a couple of repairs that are needed. And unfortunately, in the past month, we have not been able to find any handyman that would come out and help us out. So I'm going to be doing the work myself. So probably what's going to happen is I'll work for the next couple of weeks, you know, rest of this week and part of next week. And then I'll probably take a week to get everything done on the house, get the driveway pressure washed, and then we'll go ahead and list it. That's kind of the idea. There's a little bit of landscaping work that needs to be done, and there's a little bit of drywall repair that needs to be done, and there's a little bit of paint that needs to be done. So, and then, of course, you know, just like everyone does, when you live somewhere for 3 years, you accumulate a bunch of junk. So I think this time we're actually going to bring in a dumpster, and we're just going to take all the junk out and throw it in the dumpster. That's going to cost us a little bit more money to do it that way, but I think it'll be much more efficient. And we definitely want to try to get this house on the market sooner rather than later. It is a great entertaining house. It's in a decent school district that just added a pretty important, I guess you'd say, or successful, yeah, that's the word I'm thinking of, a pretty successful high school head football coach. And so we think there might be some families that are looking to move into the district and play for him. And then, of course, they would need to move over the summer in order to do that. So we're hoping that those things come together with maybe a reprieve in mortgage rates to help get that done. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about is the fact that starting early July, I will be doing what has been my side gig as my main gig. And for the second half of the year, I am going to focus on trying to build Hack My Homestead into a full-time job. And, you know, the good news is we've got a little bit of a nest egg. We've got plenty of capacity in terms of financially, so that I can really focus on this. At one point, I had actually thought about maybe staying on with the company and offering them, that I would take a reduced role and work remotely. But I really do want to try out this entrepreneurship thing and try to do it full time. And I think the only way to do that is to rip the Band-Aid off, burn the boats, so to speak, exit the J-O-B, liquidate the assets, and go after it hardcore. And so that's what I'm going to do. So in talking about my thought process there, you know, I've got two kids, and those two kids are in great health. No one in our family has ever really had any bad health problems. I could stand to lose about 30 pounds, but, you know, overall, everyone's in good shape. No one has any chronic, health issues, and we don't really have the type of lifestyle where, we're out there getting hurt. That being said, you know, when you're homesteading full time, accidents can happen. And so the idea that you're insured against a catastrophic injury means a lot. And it means more when, instead of driving to the office or driving out to a job site, you are chopping wood or, you know, planting a garden or running a tiller, things like that, or even just existing out in nature where you have venomous insects and reptiles. And so So, you know, that has been, you know, a major concern of mine. And I got to thank Nicole Saas for the podcast that she has put out recently about, you know, the different strategies one could implement to make sure that they have their health care figured out. I got another buddy of mine named Brian who has looked into it himself and passed along kind of some of the things he's researched over to me. And I've gotten to the place where I feel like I understand well enough what I need to do to make sure that if someone does get hurt, we don't lose the homestead, you know. I guess medical bills is the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States, what I've read. And so I haven't read that recently, I'll be honest with you. I read that back when the Obamacare debates were happening. And so that being said, I think there's alternative networks that can help us cover those things. So I intend to engage a doctor for direct care, meaning I will have a monthly subscription that I'll pay to my primary care physician. And anything that I don't need to go to the hospital for, he will be able to handle that. So sickness or even things, you know, like stitches and you know, minor issues here and there, or if I've got a question about something and need to know what I need, do I need to do anything about it? You know, so all of those kind of general practitioner type things we'll utilize that direct care physician for. And then we will probably get some sort of catastrophic high deductible insurance for a catastrophe. And while, you know, on one hand you think, okay, well, if something did happen, you know, boom, there's $10,000 or $20,000 or whatever the deductible is. Well, that's better than $500,000. And that's why, realistically, that's why you have insurance. It's not for the doctor's visits. I don't need a copay and all that stuff. I need insurance so that if I'm in a, you know, bad incident on the homestead and one of my legs gets severed, I can get life-saving care up to and including things like life-flighting myself to a trauma, stage 4 or 5 trauma hospital, and I get the care that I need, and I don't have to get out of the hospital and sell everything I own because of that. And so that was kind of my first concern, you know. And then the second one is, you know, I've had a job, I've worked for an employer since I was 13, and I've done that on a full-time basis, meaning at least 40 hours a week, pretty much since I was 16. Once I was 16, I went from having one full-time job to 3, and I maintained that up until about the time I turned 18, and then I went into the construction industry, and I've worked a minimum of 40-hour weeks pretty much since then, except for when I took vacation. And so the idea that, okay, well, now I'm responsible for everything. I don't intend to have any employees that I'm not related to. You know, my dad and my mom are both wheelchair bound. And so if this thing grows a lot, there may be things that they can do to help out, and that will allow me to help them out with, you know, sort of a part-time salary. I have 2 daughters and a wife. Now, when we move back, my wife intends to go get an employment job outside of the farmstead, just because she has not had a job since our younger daughter, who just turned 16 in April, was, I want to say, 2 or 3. It's been a while. And that's, you know, that was perfectly fine. She homeschooled the girls, and that was a fantastic investment. I can't imagine all of the money that she did not make over the course of that period of time was worth A, the time spent with the kids, or B, the ability of you know, to keep your kids out of the public school system that for too many children can really put a damper on their desire to learn. You know, I covered, I think it was on podcast number 3, pretty early on, you know, what our homestead journey looked like. And obviously, if we were in a situation where we had to have two incomes, that none of those things could have happened. And so I'm super grateful that she was willing to do that. And even though she didn't necessarily believe that she was able, our kids, the results speak for themselves. Let's just say that. And so so she doesn't have very many Social Security credits. And so unlike a lot of people, I do believe that Social Security will remain solvent when I'm older. And I think that to plan your later retirement, quote unquote, years, and to leave off access to a system like Social Security income isn't smart. And I think that if, you know, if the numbers change and we end up not, let me go off on a little bit of a tangent here. People talk about unfunded liabilities, right? And so what an unfunded liability is primarily is things like Social Security and Medicaid, right? But that's kind of a dishonest way, I think, to describe those ideas, because to say that we're going to need to pay out $1 trillion in Social Security benefits over the next 30 years, and I have no idea what the numbers are. I'm just grabbing numbers out of thin air. Let's just say we're going to pay out $1 trillion worth of Social Security payments in the next 30 years. For us to say that we have not already funded that $1 trillion is kind of misleading, because that's not how Social Security works. How Social Security works is today's workers pay, and those benefits go to today's retired people. And in the future, future workers pay, and those future benefits go to the future retired people, which are today's workers. And so we don't need the government to set aside $1 trillion to cover the next 30 years worth of Social Security payments, because we have workers that will exist in the future. And so I always thought that was kind of I understood what the politicians were doing there. And a lot of times they say things like, well, the trust fund's going to go broke by 2040 or whatever. Well, that's a math problem. And that might be correct, right? So we might be in a situation where the overpayment, so the net increase in total payments in versus payments out in the past may be getting eaten up. And that may go to zero in the future. And when that happens, there is a possibility that we will have reduced Social Security benefits for retired people. But I can tell you that for me, I am not planning on living on my Social Security retirement benefits. But what I am planning on doing is cashing that check if it comes in. And so to return from the tangent, I think that, you know, the way that we have our situation set up is, since I've been the primary breadwinner for most of our marriage, and we'll be hitting 20 years this August, and we're going to take a trip. I can't say where we're going to go because my wife might be a podcast listener, but, you know, we're going to take a trip somewhere. But, you know, she has been out of the workforce for the past 13 or so years. And so now that we've got one kid about to turn 18 and the other one is 16, so not only is she going to school, but she's got other extracurricular activities. And oh, by the way, she can drive herself to those if she needs to because she has a license. Now is an opportunity for my wife to re-enter the workforce, at least on a basis great enough for her to continue to gather Social Security credits so that in retirement age, she actually has some benefits to draw on. Because right now, I think if she were to retire, I don't think there would be anything there for her. So we're playing that game a little bit. And oh, by the way, while you're playing the game, you get paid. So since I'm the one that's going to be focusing on the Hack My Homestead stuff, she has decided to go outside of the homestead to rejoin the workforce, to get some Social Security credits. And then, of course, I've got my daughters. And so my older daughter is already a partner in the Kickstarter. So she will be doing all the filming. She will be helping me get all the test stations and everything set up. I mean, she will basically be my production assistant for the entire Kickstarter program. And she will be doing the editing as well. She seems to have a gift for editing. I think we installed a pretty good sense of humor in her. And so I definitely wanted that humorous tilt to the Kickstarter end product. And so I absolutely trust her 100% to put this thing together and to edit it in such a way that it is entertaining while also being informative. And so, yeah, she's a 50-50 partner in the Kickstarter deal with me. I'm the on-screen talent, so to speak. She's going to do all the hard work. And while we don't expect to make a ton of profit on this, most of the actual funds that we've raised are going to go to create content. So that means buying the things that we need, paying for the hosting, for the distribution of the HD streaming, as well as buying the shirts and the hats and the magnets and the thumb drives, and also hosting the place where we are going to put the video up for folks to download that buy the download level. So there's a lot of bandwidth that we have to buy in order to support this Kickstarter, not to mention buying the different components for erecting the test stand and for and the pumps that we're actually going to test. So we've got the solar panels. We've got one of the two charge controllers. We're buying the other one, or not charge controllers, but pump controllers. And we've got like four pumps that we own that we're going to test, and everything else, the other pumps, which there will be at least four more, we're going to go out and buy. And so if we get funded up to about $5,000, we will split a little bit of money. And then once we go over $5,000, that's when our stretch goals are going to kick in. And we'll be adding additional pumps, potentially adding some data around, you know, inline pressure tanks or booster pumps or air pumps. We don't know how big this thing is going to get, and so it's hard to say exactly what we're going to do, but we have some pretty well-defined limits for the stretch goals of how we're going to be able to enhance the product that we're already going to be providing. And so, so she'll be helpful there. And then my younger daughter she's the artist, so to speak, of the family. And so, so I think that if Hack My Homestead grows, you know, the creative endeavors, she will probably be the primary person that kind of helps out with that if she wants to. I won't force any of my family members to help me with this, but everyone has their strengths, and as a family unit, we've got a pretty strong package to put together. And that was one of the other parts of my thought process. You know, there's some consternation about the fact that I won't have a JOB for the first, a real JOB for the first time in whatever, however long it's been, almost 30 years. But then there's the benefit side, and there are. The primary benefit that I utilized to work for was health insurance. And they didn't pay everything, you know, but they paid some, and they kind of handled it, right? So it wasn't even necessarily the portion of the premium that they were paying as much as it was that I didn't have to deal with it. They took the money out of my check, and then when I showed up at the doctor's office, it worked, right? So I'll have to manage that a little bit more directly. And so that was one of the other concerns. But as I mentioned before, I think we've got a strategy to address that one. But yeah, what I was just saying was that the other one is this home-based, content-based, you know, educational type of endeavor that I'm embarking on here where I'm trying to take things that I know about and I'm interested in and break them down so that they're easier for other people to digest and implement on their own. And there are a few ways to monetize that sort of activity in the event that you can actually build a community and build a following. But it frees me up to be home more with my family and to actually work with them. Like I said, I'm really excited about the Kickstarter. I'm really excited about the end product. I'm really excited about the process. And I'm really excited about the fact that I'm going to get to work with my 17, nearly 18-year-old daughter on a partnership level. So she is going to have ownership in this and be responsible, you know, for the end product. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see how she responds to it. And then the other one is that with any career, eventually things get stagnant. And so I've told my story numerous times about how, you know, I kind of fell into this business at 18, literally on my 18th birthday. And the plan was to save up money for a year and then go to college. And 23 years later, I am still in the industry and I am still doing, I'm not doing the same job, but the end result is the same. And I've seen good times and bad times. And I opened up a new office for my company literally in February of 2008, spent 6 months in Memphis, Tennessee, which wasn't a booming economy before the recession, as you might imagine. And then in October of 2008, when the world was falling apart, I'm signing a lease on a new building and moving in. And I literally put a conference table in the conference room, and me and one other guy worked from that conference table to build that branch up. And that was fun. And I was nervous about it because I was leaving behind a very good and lucrative customer base that trusted me in Nashville and Knoxville and Chattanooga, and moving to Memphis to focus on Memphis and Jackson, Mississippi and Little Rock, Arkansas, where I had not done very much work at all. And so, yeah, I was concerned then. But that being said, I was still doing what I knew how to do. And I had that background, and I knew that if it didn't work out, I had tons of options. This one's a little bit different because I've never been a full-time entrepreneur before. I've built businesses. I've built big businesses before. And I've started with companies that were small and built them up, you know, helped build them up into big billion or multi-billion dollar businesses, and then left because the internal politics got so messed up that I didn't want to be there anymore. And so I know how to build a business in the industry that I've been in for 23 years, right? But how do you build a one-person business or a family business from scratch in a way or around something you've never done before? I'm going to find out. I'm confident that it's going to work out, but, you know, it doesn't mean that I don't have some butterflies in my stomach. And, you know, I guess I've rambled on about that. I wanted to share that that's what I was going to do, what I am doing, what I have decided to do, and what I'm moving forward with. I want to thank all you guys for supporting me, for supporting the Kickstarter. Can you believe we got funded in 72 hours? I considered running that thing for 60 days because I didn't know if we were going to be able to get enough support to get it done in 60 days, you know, and we, you know, I didn't. I ended up starting it. I started it the day after I was on Tim Cook's podcast, and I'm going to end it 2 days after my next interview with Jack Spirko, which is coming up on July 12th on the Survival Podcast. And so that was the timeline. It was basically a month and 3 or 4 days. And wow, I mean, you know, within those 3 or 4 days were funded, and now I've got another month to think about stretch goals and enhancements and how we can add even more value to the folks that pledged from day one to help us out. So thank all of you guys for listening to the podcast. Thank you for the emails of encouragement. Thank you for the emails of, hey, can you talk about this? Keep that going. Keep that coming. My email address is Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at hackmyhomestead.com. If you guys have comments, questions, or things you'd like to hear me talk about on the show, send me ideas. If you want to sign up for my monthly newsletter, just send me an email saying that you want to sign up for it. I've gotten 3 out so far. What we put in that monthly newsletter is I do kind of a brief, you know, kind of based on a question for the month, or some sort of topic to provide knowledge on, basic knowledge on solar photovoltaic systems or water pumping systems or whatever, you know, off-grid utilities. And so I normally have a short segment on something. I have a longer one, you know, kind of one page write-up on a different topic. And then I go into what the current prices are for components. I design a system, soup to nuts, inverter, charge controllers, batteries, solar panels, mounting, wiring, breaker boxes, disconnects, everything. So every month I put out a new system size with all the components that you would need, including links to go buy those things. If you want to put in a 10 kilowatt system with 30,000 watts of storage, that system has been designed and it's there. And it's, you know, you go get that stuff and you email me and say, hey, I bought everything for this system and it's now at my house. Can you get on, you know, FaceTime with me or Facebook video messenger and make sure I got everything I'm supposed to have and make sure I understand how to put this together? I'll absolutely help you out. So that's in there. And like I said, I go through different components. Like, here's what you should look for on new pricing. Here's what you should look for on used pricing for solar panels. Here are the things to look out for. Here are the problems you might run into. Oh, hey, there's a deal that's going on this month on EG4 LL batteries that you might want to take advantage of. If you're already going to buy 6 of those, well, they're $100 off. You could save $600 and get free shipping or something like that. Whatever it's going on at the time, I try to get that information out. And then I talk about any upcoming events or things that are going on like that. I still have kind of an open call out there for solar monitoring software. And so I've got a few apps downloaded that I'm playing around with, and I'm going to do Solar Assistant. I think within the next 2 weeks, I'll be going and picking up my new solar panels for Linden and getting that array in place. And so once that's going on, I'll be able to start testing out different thought processes around Solar Assistant. But that's what's, you know, that's what's in the newsletter. Just kind of some foundational knowledge, some slightly upgraded knowledge, an example of a design, what the prices are for everything, and other things that are going on. And then I always take a question that was emailed to me over the course of the month and answer it in the newsletter as well. So if you're interested in that, just shoot me an email, let me know, and I'll get the current newsletter over to you. And with that, I think I will wrap it up for today. Thank you guys for joining, and we'll talk to you next time.